Good morning and welcome to worship. It is a joy to see you as we gather in the house of the Lord to worship on this Pentecost Sunday morning. First of all, to our members, as we began this season of heavy vacation travel, thank you for your faithfulness in being here and your faithfulness in serving. If you think of yourself as a guest here, we eager to get to know you better and would be honored if you would take a moment as the connection pads are passed down each row this morning. If you would sign in, we'd look forward to getting to know you, and it would be a privilege for me to get to meet you following today's service. I would invite you to the gathering room for a reception where we'll have an opportunity to talk a little about your life's story. As we prepare to worship on this Sunday morning, let these words from Acts chapter 2 call us to the spirit of worship. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as a fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. On this day, above all days, let us worship the Lord. In spirit and in truth, let us worship.
God is the one worthy of praise, the one that meets us here to save us. And that's our message this morning. Can we proclaim that as we stand together? I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. Let's sing together.
With your voice.
I will call upon the Lord. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. I will call upon the Lord.
The Lord liveth.
The Lord liveth. And blessed be the rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. I will call upon the Lord.
Sing it out, church.
The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted.
The Lord liveth, sing it out.
The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted.
Amen. Let's find our seat.
Before Jesus went up into heaven, he told his disciples to wait in Jerusalem for the Holy Spirit to come to them and give them power to go in the whole world and tell others about the good news of Jesus. While the disciples were in Jerusalem waiting, as Jesus had told them, the day of Pentecost arrived. Pentecost was a time when the Jewish people celebrated the harvest by thanking God and giving part of their harvest back to God. There would have been many people visiting the city. On the day of Pentecost, just as Jesus had said, they received the Holy Spirit, and it helped them to tell the people in Jerusalem about Jesus, and many people became believers. And we think of that day as the birth of the church, not just our church, but the birth of all churches. And in a way, Pentecost is the birth, and Pentecost is also a special day in our church because years ago in 1983, long before you were born, someone from the Raleigh Baptist Association went to the people of First Baptist Church in downtown Raleigh. And they said, there are lots and lots of people moving into North Raleigh, and they need a new church up there so that they can come together and worship and serve God. So the pastor talked to the church for a while, and then he asked for volunteers to come up here and start a new church. There were about 17 people who made a commitment on Pentecost Sunday to do that. Some of those people were adults, and some of them were teenagers, and there were even a few children. They were leaving a church that they had known, for some of them, for their whole life. What do you think it would be like to go to a place that you've never been to church before and just kind of create a church there? You think you'd like to do that? You don't think so? Well, there are still some people in our church who were part of that group. If you happen to be one of those people or near here today, would you stand up? Is anybody here? Oh, I don't see anybody. But sometimes some of those people are still here at our church. So when this group of people got together to form a new church, do you think they had a big church building to meet in? I don't know. No, they didn't. They actually met in a real estate office. And they didn't have an organ or a piano, but someone brought a keyboard, and so they would sing hymns when they worshiped together and play the keyboard. And they would, in the beginning, they would go to church at First Baptist on Sunday morning, and then in the evening, they would meet together to worship up here. And one of the things they did was go out into the neighborhood and meet people, meet the neighbors, and ask them if they would like to come to this new church that was beginning. And soon they needed more space, so they started meeting at the Montessori School, which is just down the road here. Later, they kind of outgrew that space, and they went to Ravenscroft School and met there. And do you know what they did when someone made a profession of faith and decided they would be a Christian? They baptized them in the swimming pool because they didn't have a baptistry like we have. And one of the things they liked about meeting at Ravenscroft was the room that they were in had big glass, clear glass windows like we have here. And they could look out and they could see nature and they could see people going by. Mr. Doug Cole told me sometimes joggers would go by the window and be very surprised that there were people inside. And that's one of the reasons why we have clear glass windows too. Because we want to be able to see God's world outside and be able to see that there are people out there who need to know about Jesus and that we can tell them about Jesus and go out and meet them. Now we have this beautiful sanctuary where we can meet together and there are lots of people here now. And we might not want to leave, Greystone to start a new church, but there are lots of ways we can do new things to share the gospel of Jesus with other people and to tell people that God loves us and sent Jesus into the world. We can still meet together like those first Greystone members and love each other and take care of each other. Let's have a prayer. God, we thank you for sending the Holy Spirit at Pentecost and helping the disciples to tell others about Jesus. Help us today to tell others that Jesus loves us and that we can be a church all together. In Jesus' name, amen.
Sing this prayer with me, Holy Spirit, wind of heaven. Let's sing together.
Holy Spirit, wind of heaven, breath of life, far warmth and light, power of creation bringing hopeful dawn from darkness light. You have birthed us, you have born us, you have blessed us all our days. Now you fill our lungs with singing, how you fill our hearts with praise. Holy Spirit, flame of passion, you who brought the church to be, be created Gentle courage, trust and peace, lead us all to love each other, make our sad division cease. Holy Spirit of descending, mind of Christ within us all, speak your wisdom, move among us, help us hear your inner call. Be the only power that moves us, be our life, oh singing God. Holy Spirit, come revive us, fill us with your heart of love.
Be the only power,
be the fill us with your heart of love.
Good morning. My name is Nancy Register, for a few of you that may not know me. And I was asked to speak this morning for a few minutes about Buddy Break. Now, I'm always up to speaking about Buddy Break, but keeping it short is what is a challenge, so I'm going to do my best this morning. For those who may not know, Buddy Break is a ministry we've been doing here at Greystone for 5 years, and it's a free 3-hour monthly respite program that we provide for families who have children with special needs and their siblings. So the parents basically drop their kids off at 10 o'clock in the morning. Each child is paired up with a trained volunteer to just have fun and play and be loved on, and the parents come back refreshed and pick them up at 1 o'clock. I'm always asked, how did you find out about Buddy Break? How did this happen? And so it's quite appropriate to talk about that today, because our church was in the same kind of season when Buddy Break was kind of began, as we are now, and that we were searching for a senior pastor, and we were doing a lot of prayer and talking and sharing with each other about what we wanted the future of Greystone to be. And I had been sensing for a long time that there was something special that God had in mind for me and Greystone, some kind of ministry. But one of the meetings and sharing sessions we had in talking about our dreams for the future, Heather talked about the program at Good Shepherd at Christmas time, when they do a Christmas party for children with special needs, and how much that had meant to them. And I thought, well, that's kind of cool, and that's kind of something we could do, but it didn't really gel at the time. Several months later, as I continued to pray about this, I heard a program on the radio on K-Love, driving to work one morning, and it was they were interviewing a woman called Marie Cook. And she and her family had lost one of their children to special needs early on. And they saw such a need for families that they started a program in Orlando called Nathaniel's Hope. And out of that, Buddy Break was born. And since then, there's probably over 150 Buddy Breaks across the United States. And this year, they actually started one in Puerto Rico. So it's really grown. And I thought, wow, that's something we could do. And that's something that there's a need for. And I really felt strongly that this is exactly what God wanted us to do. So I prayed about it a lot. I talked to a few people just, you know, about it. And a lot of what I heard was, we can't even get people to teach Sunday school. How are we going to get people to do this? And I said, well, I don't know, but I do know that this is what God is calling us to do. And so we did some more praying and talking to teams, and our first training that we did here, we had 40 people show up for training. Some of the things that I really love about the program is that it is something that everybody can participate in, from the youngest to the oldest. We actually, I think, I'm not sure if we still hold this distinction, but a couple years ago, we had the oldest Buddy Break in all of the programs. And we've had everything done from our children doing cards for our families at Christmas,
Our youth are involved as buddies. They come and help with some of our special events. We've had the college students. They did a toy drive for us. We've had lots of people who have come and shared their talents. We have about 20 minutes of some kind of program at the end, and so we've had many of you have come and sung for us, played instruments, puppet shows, magic tricks, anything that you can do. The kids love that. And then our Sunday school classes have really jumped up, and many of those have provided lunches for our volunteers. And so there's a lot of things that we have volunteer needs for that you don't even have to come to Buddy Break. We have family liaisons who call our families every month and let them know if there's a space for them that month. We have people who set up for us every month, so saves us time in the morning getting ready for Buddy Break. And so another thing that's been a real pleasure is getting to know and love and care for these families, and they care for us as well. Several years ago when some of our family liaisons lost a spouse, their families actually reached out to them and prayed for them. One of the two of our families actually last fall nominated our church for an award with through Triangle Arc, so I wanted to share that. This hangs in the fellowship hall, and one of the families told a story of how Buddy Break had really ministered to them. Her daughter, when they started coming, was probably about 10, and they were very close, but she had never taken her child and left her anywhere. If they went somewhere, the mom stayed. And so the first time she came to Buddy Break, she was really not planning to be able to leave. In fact, she went across to the parking lot over here and sat for the whole 3 hours because she knew we were going to be calling her and saying, you're going to need to come back and pick up your daughter. And we didn't. And when she picked her up, her daughter had a bright smile on her face and said, I can't wait to come back to Buddy Break. So that's how we're affecting families and our community. Even our volunteers are really touched often, the relationships that they make with these families. One of our teenagers that comes from another school actually is in nursing school now, and one of the things she told us is that even though she never had any experience with special needs kids, she was really feeling like she might want to adopt one someday. So it's an important program. We would love for you to come and visit us and see if there's a way that you can fit in. As I said, I don't think there's a person here that couldn't be involved in one way or another. And we know that many of you are involved already in making this an important ministry, and we thank you for that.
Thank you, Nancy. I was reminded last week of how important this program is, Buddy Breaks, when we went across the street for the second Tuesday lunch over at Sawmill. And while we were there, people noticed that one of the participants in this program was there, and she went up and talked to him, and the mother explained how much this meant, not just for her child, but to her and her entire family. My name is David Alston. I've been here, a member here for about 4 years, and for the last year and a half, I've been a member of the stewardship committee. As you've been hearing in these stewardship moments for the past 3 Sundays, even in this time of transition, Greystone's very much alive and helping out in your community. Your gifts of time, as well as your financial gifts, have allowed Greystone to continue these programs, these activities, to minister to the people that mean so much to the participants and the recipients. We thank you for all that you've provided and ask for your continued financial support this summer. Thank you.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for ministry opportunities like Buddy Break. Thank you for the vision that you gave Nancy Register more than 5 years ago and the way you opened her heart to this need. Thank you for the family of Greystone Baptist Church and for the many ways they answer your call to minister to our community and beyond. Open our hearts to consistently be generous and faithful givers of our financial resources to support these ministries. We acknowledge that everything we have comes from you. Help us to become faithful and committed givers to your work. Open our eyes to the community around us that we see through these windows. to those who are lonely and in need of you and in need of our encouragement. We dedicate not only this monetary offering, but all that we are, all that we have, to you this day. Help us to always live open-handed and to find our greatest joy in following and serving you. It is in the name of our blessed Savior, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen.
Thank you. 37th chapter of Ezekiel. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them. There were very many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. And he said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" I answered, "O Lord God, you know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord.' Thus says the Lord God to these bones, 'I will cause breath to enter you and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you and cause flesh to come upon you and to cover it, and I cover you with skin and put breath in you and you shall live and you shall know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I had been commanded. And as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live.' I prophesied as he had commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and they stood on their feet, a vast multitude." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Two texts, mysterious and curious. The first filled with dry bones, the second flaming tongues. Go figure. It's Pentecost, and we live at the intersection of those two passages of Scripture. And in just a moment, we want to talk about what life is like at that intersection. It is really good to see you, and it's an honor to be with you, especially on this Sunday. I'm not sure about you, but I'm just at that stage in life where for 39 years I've dealt with all kind of wonderful and challenging things, and despite the challenges and obstacles and hurdles of life, I've determined to focus on the positive, to count my blessings every day, and boy, this week's been quite a week. My good friend Joe Durant advanced through the Champions Tour, is starting out at number three in today's senior tour, and so when church is over, I'm going to check his score. Our little college where my wife and I attended at Jacksonville State came from behind in their bracket. They've made the Sweet 16 for the first time in history in NCAA Division I fast pitch softball. It's exciting. My nephew Elisha, I told you about last week, is coming in on Tuesday to spend Tuesday through Friday with us. Elisha's the nephew who's overcoming the challenges of being a nonverbal autistic student about to enter high school. We had a couple call us that we mentored, and they said, this weekend is our third anniversary. Could we come spend it with you? I got to tell you, not many pastors have the privilege of having any couple call and say, we want to spend our third anniversary weekend with you. And they've been at our house. They've gone to church with my wife this morning. It's wonderful. There's a story behind that. This particular couple is unique in that they met when he was an Auburn cheerleader and she was an Alabama cheerleader. And those two don't mix. And so they had a secret romance for their own safety. Got married 3 years ago, and their marriage is one of Pentecost-style proportion. Only God could bring together different people like that and make them a united front. And then I purchased the ticket for my wife, Amanda, to come here to Raleigh in the first week of June. She'll be here on the second Sunday. I'm looking forward to your meeting her. She's looking forward to several things, but three in particular. She wants to meet you. She wants to hear this great music program I've been telling her about. She's a musician, and she loves and appreciates excellent church music. And I told her that's what she's going to find here. And she wants to have her picture made with Ken Mitchell, who was a star on the 1964 Alabama team, and probably get him to sign her Alabama Crimson Tide book that Clyde Bolton wrote. And so it's been a really good week. And, of course, it's Pentecost. one of my favorite weekends of the entire year. It's Pentecost Sunday, the birthday of the Christian church. It's our observance of the Advent and inauguration of the Holy Spirit. Some people ask, well, who is the Holy Spirit? Father, Son, and Spirit. I love what the great theologian Moltmann says. He says that the Holy Spirit is the unrestricted presence of God in which our life wakes up. We become fully whole and entirely living, and we are endowed with the energies of life. Well, not only is it Pentecost Sunday, and not only are we observing the advent of the Holy Spirit, but maybe in a little focus closer to home, it's the birthday, as we heard in the children's time, of Greystone Church, how in 1983, a handful of people walked the aisle at First Baptist Church Raleigh with a dream to place and plant a church in this community that would make a difference for all time and eternity. And who could have imagined the needs that would be met in this community through this congregation across the years? Acts of ministry, ministries of compassion, missional initiatives. So today we celebrate the good things that have happened and are continuing to happen. In fact, just in my short time with you, listening to you, reading your announcements, looking back through recent newsletters, we celebrate the Buddy Break ministry and all the volunteers that empower that. We celebrate the mission trips to Arkansas and to Lumberton. We celebrate that this church provided health screenings for preschoolers in September at their apartment complex to remove the impediment of providing transportation, and even held another clinic on yesterday. This church is buying books for kids in Arkansas and preparing to help them read during the upcoming mission trip in July. This church hosted one of the most unique weddings in all of Raleigh back in April when a Congolese woman and a Hispanic man who just 5 years ago were living in a refugee camp were wed right here in this sanctuary. This church assisted ESL students, helping them upgrade their English skills. We helped establish a Swahili congregation that's becoming more and more vibrant. Greystone members, even during my first week, were spotted outside two roosters, not committing gluttony, but giving away tickets and invitations to the spring carnival. And this church partners with Refuge Hope Partners in Bible study and tutoring for over 340 kids representing 31 countries. What a great legacy of mission and ministry. But what Pentecost says to us, that as much as we appreciate what has been done, the best is yet to come. If we bring the best of our gifts, if we bring the best of our energies, if we are empowered by the Spirit, the best is yet to come. On this particular Sunday, we're standing at that intersection, the juxtaposition of two texts, a valley of dry bones on the one hand and flaming fire on the other. Let's begin with the bones. Bones are always a good place to start for their structure. There's a skeletal framework. There's organization. The psalmist said, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Did you know that there are 206 bones in the human body? But if you're a pediatrician, you would remind us that we're born with 270. But due to fusion and elimination, as we reach adulthood, there are 206. Well, just imagine as Ezekiel looked over that valley of dry bones, he didn't fathom a ministerial guess at how many people those bones represented. He mourned at their disconnectedness. When Ezekiel saw that valley, he describes it as disconnected and disoriented, as dry and lifeless. He describes it as a valley of dry bones. Then the amazing begins to happen. There's first a noise and then a loud rattle, and the bones begin to quiver and come together. And what was disconnected began to connect. What was disoriented gained new orientation. And there was a breath, the scripture says, from the four winds, and the bones began to come to life. One of the most fascinating stories in all the Old Testament. Sort of like a first Pentecost. And then there's that story from Luke, often embellished, sometimes understated. What Luke observed has caused much curiosity and conversation. To put it in its original context, people gathered there because they had heard rumors about a resurrection and they wanted to hear more. But a prophetic message was spoken, and people who believed and responded began to speak in ways they had not spoken before. They began to hear in ways they had not heard before. They began to understand in ways they had not understood before. They began to do things in the name of the Spirit that they would never have attempted to do before. You see, those who were disconnected began to connect. Those who were disoriented gained a whole new orientation and vision. And those who were unconverted began to convert. Those who were uncommitted began to commit. And the wind of the Spirit continued to blow and added to the church daily. Well, now we stand in the 21st century. And this morning, here's my takeaway from those two texts. Just as Ezekiel saw this valley of dry bones come to life, God brings dry bones to life and empowers them to dance. The dance of the Spirit, the dance of ministry, the dance of human vitality. Think about two or three things with me before we wrap things up in a little bit of an unusual way. One of my takeaways is that good things happen when people hear the word of the Lord. That's what's in common with these two texts. In Ezekiel, it says, I prophesied to them and they began to come to life. They heard the word of the Lord. In Acts chapter 2, before there was a pouring out of the Spirit, the word of God was proclaimed and people heard the word of the Lord with fresh ears. Boy, yesterday the word of the Lord came from a surprising place. And what people expected to be the doldrums of yet another royal wedding, that if you were not into Emily Post and etiquette, why watch? Preakness was coming on later in the day. And then out of nowhere comes our friend Michael Curry, who is a wonderful speaker, but who everyone thought would be quite subdued on this occasion. And all of a sudden, a royal couple and a united kingdom and a hurting world heard the word of God with fresh ears, and people are still talking about it. And he reached a crescendo point when he said, imagine this old tired world when love is the way. Unselfish, sacrificial, redemptive love. When love is the way, he said, then no child will go to bed hungry in this world ever again. When love is the way, we will let justice roll down like a mighty stream and righteousness like a flowing brook. When love is the way, poverty will become history. When love is the way, the earth will become a sanctuary. When love is the way, we will lay down our swords and shields down by the riverside to study war no more. Because when love is the way, well, we actually treat each other like we are actually family. When love is the way, we know that God is the source of us all, and we are brothers and sisters. Young and old, rich and poor, black and white, we are the family of God. So that's my takeaway. Good things happen when people hear the word of the Lord. Second, never underestimate the power of getting connected. It's rather in vogue for people who've been in church all their life to disconnect from church and sometimes disconnect from God, to connect with all the things that are on their wish list and their bucket list. But in this passage, the disconnected get reconnected and good things happen. Can a Christian who was once growing and filled with vitality become dry and lifeless? Absolutely. Can a church who has an extraordinary menu of ministry passion become like a valley of dry bones? Absolutely. While the scripture says the church is built on the rock and the gates of hell will not prevail against it, that's talking about the universal church. The local church is always just one generation from extinction. But they're also just one vital commitment from flourishing and fulfilling God's mission. Pentecost is a day to step up to the plate with your best gifts. And there may be someone here this morning who needs to reconnect with God. There may be someone who needs to reconnect with the church. There may be someone who needs to reconnect with God's mission and God's purpose in your life, taking your gifts and investing them in the type of ministry and service that will change another person's life for all time and eternity. Good things happen when people hear the word of the Lord. Never underestimate the power of getting reconnected. And then finally, in Pentecostal abandon, raise your sails to catch the wind of the Spirit. Reggie McNeil, who gives us that great book, Missional Renaissance, says the Spirit of God is at work in the world, and it's the responsibility of the church to get on the same page with the Spirit. It is never the responsibility of the Spirit to get on the same page with the church. And so, as someone who lives in Florida who admired the sailboats this week, sometimes as the people of God, rather than resting on the laurels of the past or complaining about the prognosis of the future, we simply need to raise our sails with spiritual abandon, believing that the sails of our life will get caught up in the wind of the Spirit and take us to places we never imagined we would go. In ways that cannot be explained, the breath of God or the wind of the Spirit is creating new opportunities, cultivating new perspectives, and revitalizing the vision of individual Christians and churches just like Greystone. In the birth narrative of Greystone Church, a small handful of individuals walked forward at First Baptist Raleigh and shared that they are the ones who felt led to give birth to a church. Their passion was visionary. Their spirits were determined. And I've talked to a couple of them, and no hurdle or stumbling block was going to get in their way. And it's that kind of legacy vision and that kind of durable determination that will propel us into the future. As we prepare for the future, God wants to breathe new life and fresh wind into the sails of this congregation. And he wants to do it Pentecost style. It wasn't Michael Curry, but another friend who sort of, well, he said on Pentecost, I wanted to remind him of a few things. You need to get ready. You need to be prepared. God is up to something, he said. The wind of the Spirit is blowing. And when the wind of the Spirit blows, he said, discouraged folks, cheer up. Dishonest folks, fess up. Sour folks, sweeten up. Conflicted folks, make up. Sleeping folks, wake up. Lukewarm folks, fire up. Dry bones, shake up. And the people of God, step up to the plate with the best of their gifts. Did you know out of those 206 bones where the psalmist said that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, out of the 206 bones that comprise an adult human being, 106 are in the hands and the feet. We were not created to sit on the sidelines. We were created to go and to serve. Let us serve God with the best of our giftedness. Amen. I wish I could have been a fly on the wall that Sunday at First Baptist Raleigh when they began to stand and walk down the aisle and say, I want to be a part of the birth and the planting of this new church. Well, this morning, we conclude by inviting you to inscribe your name in the future of Greystone. That as we celebrate a communion of pen and ink, I want to invite you right where you sit to pray a prayer of commitment. Whisper it within yourself. God, I bring to you the best of my gifts, and I want to empower that great work you want to do in this place. And in a few moments, when the music begins, we invite everyone, young and old, veteran members and new members, to form a couple of lines down the center aisle. And there's a piece of artwork at the front. And we invite you to take a gold or bronze pen and etch your name in the future. I want God to count on me. I want God to use me. I'm bringing what few gifts I have to the service of the Lord, knowing that when they're combined with the gifts of everyone in this body, God can do great things through ordinary people. As you come to sign the artwork, I'll be standing at the front to receive you if there's a decision. Someone professing faith in Christ, coming for baptism, or you're ready to unite with the church, we invite you to come. But as the music begins, just stand where you are. Not row by row, but come spontaneously and enthusiastically and etch your name in God's future for Greystone. May we stand together.
With words that help me.
I think a good thing to do would be to stand together and let's sort of move toward the center aisle and join hands and sort of stand as family for a few moments of dedication prayer, and then we'll conclude our moment celebrating some good news and our final song. Let's pray together. Our most gracious God, we thank you for the power of potential in this place, for the unique gifts and talents given to each individual, for what those talents and spiritual gifts can mean when invested in your service. Just as our spiritual ancestors, our forefathers and foremothers made such a bold commitment 35 years ago, help us in committing ourselves this day to carry the energy and strength and vitality of this great ministry outside these walls and into this community, into the future. Use us as only you can, for we offer ourselves in the power of the Spirit and in Jesus' name. And all the people said, amen.
The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
You're so close. Please turn and share the peace of Christ with one another. As you remain standing and visiting and sharing in the vitality of the Pentecost season, please note just a couple of things. The Leadership Council will meet directly after this meeting in the Fellowship Hall. So if you are a part of that meeting, I hope you will go on down so the meeting can get started. And we are overjoyed to share that at the 8:45 service, Walker Alston joined by Profession of Faith. And we are excited to share that news with all of you here at this service as well. Let us conclude our service with song.
Let's sing it out loud. Jesus, shine, fill this land with the Father's glory.
Send us from this place empowered by the Spirit and fueled by grace that we might blaze a trail of the love of Jesus Christ, leaving it in our wake wherever we go and whatever we do. May God bless. Amen.